So the Trump administration is trying to get illegal immigrant criminals out of the country as soon as possible, fulfilling a very important, if not the most important, campaign promise of the 2024 campaign. Some activist judges are trying to block him from doing so. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem orchestrated a fascinating plan over this past weekend to sidestep a legal battle they knew would ensue. This plan almost did not work, especially after it was partially leaked on Saturday night this past weekend. So I'll break everything down and tell you what's coming next. But first, El Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele published this video around 5 a.m. Pacific with the tweet saying, "Today, the first 238 members of the Venezuelan criminal organization Tren de Aragua arrived in our country. They were immediately transferred to CESOC, the Terrorism Confinement Center, for a period of 1 year, potentially renewable, saying the United States will pay a very low fee for them, but a high one for us. Over time, these actions combined with the production already being generated by more than 40,000 inmates engaged in various workshops and labor under the Zero Idleness Program will help make our prison system self-sustainable. As of today, it costs roughly $200 million per year." He also added that the U.S. sent El Salvador 23 MS-13 members wanted by Salvadoran justice, including two ringleaders. One of them is apparently a member of the criminal organization's highest structure. So why would a U.S. judge oppose this? What happened? We'll break everything down. It's actually a fascinating story. And it's going to the Supreme Court. Make no mistake. So Axios reported on this story around Monday afternoon. They were the first to break it. They're, of course, not sympathetic to the Trump administration, so they cast it as the Trump administration openly defying the courts. We'll get into why that's not exactly the case, but there's a kernel of truth to it. So Trump's advisors contend that U.S. District Judge James Boasberg overstepped his authority by issuing an order that blocked President from deporting about 250 Tren de Aragua gang members under the Alien Enemies Act of 1789. This wartime law gives the executive extreme, immense power to deport non-citizens without a judicial hearing, but has been little used, particularly in peacetime. That's all from Axios. It's actually been used, I think it's only been invoked 3 times in our nation's history. A White House official added that it is, quote, the showdown that was always going to happen between the two branches of government. And it seemed that this was pretty clean. You have Venezuelan gang members, these are bad guys, as the president would say, end quote. And here they are, some of them being taken into CESOC. It's this massive terrorism center in El Salvador. And like Bukele said, El Salvador worked out a deal with the U.S. to admit these prisoners to this massive prison because they essentially provide a form of cheap labor which pays for the prison itself, while also getting these criminals off the streets of not just the U.S., El Salvador, Colombia, Venezuela, Mexico, etc. So this past weekend, Stephen Miller and Kristi Noem hatched this plan, knowing that a judge would try to block their actions. Very few people outside their two teams knew what was happening. They tried to make it leak-proof. They did not set out to defy a court order. One official said, "We wanted them on the ground first before a judge could get a case, but this is how it worked out." President Trump actually signed the executive order invoking the Alien Enemies Act on Friday night, but intentionally did not advertise it. On Saturday morning, word of the order leaked, officials said, prompting a mad scramble to get planes in the air. So at 2:30 p.m. Saturday, an immigration activist who tracks deportation flights posted on X that, quote, "Two highly unusual ICE flights were departing from Texas to El Salvador, which had agreed to accept Venezuelan gang members deported from the U.S. Hours later, during a court hearing filed by the ACLU, Judge Boasberg, that's a district court judge, ordered a halt to the deportations and said any flight should be turned around mid-air. Boasberg said, "This is something that you need to make sure is complied with immediately," he told the Justice Department, according to the Washington Post. So around 6:51 p.m., both flights were off the Yucatan Peninsula, according to flight paths posted on X. Inside the White House, officials discuss whether to order the planes to turn around. On advice from a team of administration lawyers, the administration pressed ahead. One senior official said, "There was a discussion about how far the judge's ruling can go under the circumstances and over international water. And on advice of counsel, we proceeded with deporting these thugs." A second senior administration official told Axios, quote, "They were already outside of U.S. airspace. We believe the order is not applicable." After this story was already posted, Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary for the Trump administration, issued the statement. "The administration did not refuse to comply with the court order. The order, which had no lawful basis, was issued after terrorist TDA aliens had already been removed from U.S. territory." She added that the written order and the administration's actions do not conflict. Moreover, as the Supreme Court has repeatedly made clear, federal courts generally have no jurisdiction over the president's conduct of foreign affairs, his authorities under the Alien Enemies Act, and his core Article II powers to remove foreign alien terrorists from U.S. soil and repel a declared invasion. A single judge in a single city cannot direct the movements of an aircraft carrier full of foreign alien terrorists who were physically expelled from U.S. soil. End quote. So President of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, posted this tweet along with this video, which went viral. It has almost 14 million views as of this afternoon. And when the story finally broke, he ended up reposting a snippet from the New York Post carrying the headline about the judge clashing with the White House, writing, "Oopsie, too late," with a laugh emoji. Secretary of State Marco Rubio then retweeted Nayib Bukele's tweet, saying, "Thank you for your assistance and friendship, President Bukele." So there's obvious coordination there. J.D. Vance also said, "There were violent criminals and rapists in our country. Democrats fought to keep them here. President Trump deported them," retweeting the Axios article. Because, of course, it's a fascinating turn of events that the court system would try to block the deportation of very violent, perhaps the most violent, illegal aliens in the country, and yet imposed virtually no barriers to completely unchecked immigration, which saw terrorists and criminals pouring across the border. One Trump critic, Mark Zaid, self-parodied after tweeting, "Court order defied, first of many as I've been warning, and start of a true constitutional crisis, ultimately will lead to Trump impeachment proceedings." Wow, haven't heard that before. Impeachment of Trump? The Democrats threatening to impeach Trump? Shocker. The White House said that they welcome this fight, this legal battle. A senior White House official told Axios that this is headed to the Supreme Court and we're going to win, so they sound very confident. Far from defying the courts, they plan to follow the highest court in the land, which is not guaranteed to rule in Trump's favor. But the Trump administration sounds very confident that they will. It's difficult to imagine that there are a lot of Americans out there who strongly support keeping violent illegal immigrants in the country. The polls certainly indicate the opposite, and you could also check the last election results if you don't believe the poll. Stephen A. Smith is someone who's supported the Democrat Party for a very long time, yet sounds very skeptical of the Democrats' current position on illegal immigration, which is, I guess, to impose zero restrictions. "No human is illegal" is emblazoned on protest signs around the country by Democrat Party base voters. So here's Stephen A. Smith saying, "I probably shouldn't say this on camera," talking about immigration.
"I shouldn't say this. It's actually bad for me to say this on camera, but I haven't minded you at all, you know, going at elected officials and law enforcement officials and letting them know that they were going to be accountable if they didn't follow the law. Didn't bother me at all to see that from you."
So Stephen A. Smith is saying, "I shouldn't say this on camera, but it doesn't bother me at all that you're going after public officials. You're going after people for being hypocrites, for not actually following the law on this issue," basically implying that he supports being tough on illegal immigration, which has evidently put him at odds with the Democrats. Democrats actually used to sound very different in the past. I'll show you that in a second. But this is what Tom Homan has said prompted that statement from Stephen A. Smith. "You may have heard about family separations during the first Trump term. It was all a big lie. It was all actually about ending catch and release at the border. Anytime any adult is imprisoned, even a citizen, they don't bring their kids to jail with them. So that's by definition family separations, I suppose, to imprison an adult for a crime. That doesn't mean that you just legalize crime." The Democrats admitted brilliant spin during Trump's first administration on family separations, made it sound like Trump was doing something far more draconian than previous administrations when the only change that Trump enacted was ending catch and release. Obama actually deported more people than any of these presidents. Obama was actually dubbed the deporter in chief. He deported even more people than Trump. But that's because Trump was trying to limit deportations by just stopping people at the border so you didn't have to deport them. Only massive corporations that want to keep wages low and increase the giant pool of labor at low wage jobs would encourage an open border. So ultimately, tugging on people's heartstrings about children and families and family separations actually was just serving the interests of these mega corporations to not pay workers enough. So here's Tom Homan setting the record straight.
"One of the masterminds of the first Trump administration's infamous zero tolerance policy, which led to the separation of thousands of migrant children from their parents in the eyes of many at the very least. The idea led to the separation of more than, I think, 4,000 children from their parents, and some were lamenting that some of them were put in cages. How do you answer these questions for those that..."
Cages built by Obama, they're called family deportation facilities.
"Don't know. How do you answer questions like that, like I just posed to you, in terms of 4,000 children being separated from their parents?"
"Absolutely. So where did zero tolerance come from? Zero tolerance came from this. 31% of women that make their journey get by the criminal cartels. Children were dying on that border every day. Dying. Either drowning in a river, dying making that journey. Children were... The children were dying in the desert. You know, they made that journey, and a lot of women and children not only died, many were shelter. So we said, look, how can we save lives? How can we stop the children. So we said, look, let's prosecute them because it's a crime to enter this country illegally. So if we prosecute them and put them in jail, maybe the numbers go down, maybe less will come. And it worked. A zero tolerance, that the numbers of families putting themselves in harm's way and putting themselves in the hands of criminal cartels dropped significantly. However, the sad part about it, the unfortunate part about it, is that when you prosecute a parent and put them in jail, the child won't go with them. And I'll say this. I started as a police officer in New York. Police agencies across this country separate families 1,000 times a day across this country because the child doesn't go to jail with the parent. And I've said during my testimony, one time I was testifying here when I was a cop in New York, when I went to a domestic violence call and I arrested a father, I separated that family. Child can't go to jail with them. When I arrested a DUI and had a child in the car, I separated that family. It's an unfortunate and saddest part of law enforcement. Families get separated when the parents get arrested. So we do let the families 1,000 times a day in this country with Americans, but they want a different set of rules for illegal aliens. But the whole intent of doing this was to save lives with less some women and children. That was the whole purpose for it. But they keep harping on that Trump's family separation policy. But and you're right, about 4,000. But they don't talk about the 500,000, a half a million separations that this administration is responsible for. Because they sent a message to the whole world: if you're a child and you cross this country illegally, you're not going to be deported. We'll deliver you to the very same people who paid a criminal cartel to smuggle you into this country. So you know, what we did was try to save lives and decrease sexual assault. What they did was send a message to the whole world: child can cross the border, we'll get them to the final destination at government expense, and reward the people who paid the criminal cartels to bring them. And that's why the numbers exploded, because there's no consequence. We had a consequence, they didn't.
That's an incredibly compelling answer that you just gave. I can't refute it. No one should, as far as I'm concerned, sir.
So Obama was the deporter-in-chief because we were going through a massive recession. American workers were already hit hard enough. There are already very few jobs to go around. Now, under Biden, we had the pandemic. We had a massive labor shortage because the lockdowns led to a lot of people, a lot of poor people, getting addicted to drugs or, far worse, becoming alcoholics, whatever, leaving the labor market for various reasons. Most of those reasons are not positive reasons. And so places like Amazon, etc., needed a massive influx of very cheap labor. That's ultimately the reason why the border was left open. Now, Trump's strategy is obviously a little different. It's, well, can we shut down the border but also have an economic boom where we have not just enough jobs to go around, but we have enough good paying jobs to go around for American citizens of all nationalities, of all races, etc. Although, side note, genetically, there's only one race. It's a pet peeve of mine when people say there are different races. There's just the one human race, guys. What do you think all the anti-Trump protesters waving Mexican flags, even though a lot of these illegal immigrants who are criminals being deported are not from Mexico? None of them are Mexican. They're Venezuelan, etc. What do you think all those protesters waving the Mexican flags and saying that no human is illegal and we should just have a completely open border. What do you think they would say about Barack Obama's speech back in the day?
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship so that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it.
Did you hear a woman in the crowd go, "Thank you"?
So we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
So Democrat Party base voters used to actually support being tough on immigration. You heard the extra applause for immigrants have to learn English. The Democrat Party and establishment Republican Party, whatever's left of it, their main point against Trump, their main argument against Trump is that Trump's racist because Trump is tough on illegal immigration. Clips like these are an insult to our intelligence because Obama clearly wasn't making a racist argument. It's an economic argument. The Democrats are cynical and they've ultimately hoisted themselves by their own petard. If Trump is a racist for being tough on illegal immigration, then what's Hillary in this?
So I think we got to have tough conditions. Tell people to come out of the shadows. If they've committed a crime, deport them. No questions asked. They're gone. If they've been working and are law-abiding, we should say, here are the conditions for you staying. You have to pay a stiff fine because you came here illegally. you have to pay back taxes, and you have to try to learn English, and you have to wait in line.
Big applause again from the Democrat Party base. They love that English line. Bill Clinton also peddled the strategy of calling Trump a racist for being a hardliner on immigration. This is him in 2016.
Talk all you want to about how wonderful it'll be when we put a wall up across the Rio Grande.
What exists of the wall between the U.S. and Mexico, fun fact, was mostly built under Clinton's administration.
You can put that wall up, physically possible. Then why don't we put up a wall with the Canadian border? There's a lot of foreigners over there, too. Then we can put up a seawall in the Atlantic, a seawall in the Pacific. Then you can send the United States Navy to the Gulf of Mexico and keep people out of there. Send the Air Force up and stop every plane from flying in America.
So Clinton was mocking Trump in 2016. Let's hear what he said in 1995 during his State of the Union address about immigration.
That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Sounds pretty reasonable. It's really incredible that they tried to call Trump a racist for his position on immigration when Melania Trump, as First Lady, is actually the first immigrant First Lady since John Quincy Adams in the 1820s. Trump himself grew up in Queens, New York. New York, especially Queens, is obviously a borough of New York City, which is home to literally millions of immigrants from around the world. Pretending that Trump has some sort of bigoted attitude towards immigration has always been a bizarre and deeply cynical argument from the Democrat Party, who themselves, actually, let's be real, gave Trump his talking points decades ago. Trump, interestingly, only split from Bill Clinton and the Democrat Party in the mid-90s over NAFTA because he thought the free trade agreement actually was hurting American workers as they were offshoring manufacturing jobs. Trump has been actually deeply consistent for decades and decades, and the idea that Trump is a beyond-the-pale, draconian, sort of racist, anti-immigrant, whatever, is a self-serving, cynical lie on the part of the Democrat Party. Plenty of people have seen through it at this point, so I don't want to beat a dead horse. Or maybe beat a dead donkey?